magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name and worship Christ our Lord. Let us worship him. Christ our Lord. Let's forget about ourselves. Let's forget about ourselves and concentrate on him and worship him. Concentrate on him and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves. Let's concentrate on him and worship Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is all my righteousness, for he is all my righteousness. I stand complete in him and worship him. He is all. Hallelujah. He is
all my righteousness.
I stand complete in him and worship him. For he is
all my righteousness.
I stand complete. Christ our Lord. We have come into this house. Hallelujah. We are coming to his house and gathered in his name to worship him. To this house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into this house. We're gathered in his name to worship Christ. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Brother John, God bless you.
All my righteousness.
All of it, yes, sir.
All my righteousness. You know, the only reason this mountain is holy is because God dwells in it. That is the only reason. And you know, I come here this morning I don't want to do ritual. I don't want to do tradition. I don't want to do any of that stuff. I don't even want to do church.
No.
I really want to praise God for all he's done.
Yeah.
He's done it all. When I think on the goodness of Jesus.
Yeah, man.
I was driving to church this morning, just think on the goodness of Jesus. That God himself dwells in here. God himself. So this mountain is holy. But nothing to do with me. But in another sense, I got my part to play.
Amen.
And I want to play my part.
Yes.
I want to be used. I want to give way. And you know, you have to get out of the way to do that.
Yeah.
It takes some work.
Yeah.
And I want to do it. I want to praise him with all that's in me.
Amen. God bless you. Amen.
We got a song real
quick. I'm after you.
Okay, sounds good. We're going to play Amazing Grace.
Amen. Play it like you need it.
Yeah, we better play it like we mean it.
Amen.
Just 2 seconds.
You know, if we were going to ever do anything, let's do it now. Days are getting shorter.
Right.
I'm getting older.
Yeah.
And it didn't hit me until Friday. I don't know, I heard what you said, and for some reason I heard it. It must have went in one ear and out the other. But then it dawned on me Friday. I'm 63.
Right.
You know, and if Brother Branham said that when he was in his 50s.
Yeah.
I'm 60. It just hit me. I'm still. I must be in denial. I'm probably thinking I'm still in my 30s or 40s, but I'm not. So now that you know, it's. Who knows? You know how much longer I'm going to be here. I'm not promised tomorrow, but while I can do something today,
yes,
let me do something today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amazing, amazing grace.
Pray for my wife. She's not feeling well, and that bad cough that I have, she's in the thick of it now. And maybe I can ask for a prayer cloth later. But that's why she's been out. But I know she'll get over it. Lord willing, one way or another, but I'm thinking she'll be back. So, amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Play y'all.
Thank you.
You can put that song up, Praveen. A song we want to play now is My Heart's Desire. It's won't be available anymore. He can speak to me today. I don't care how he says it. I don't care what he says. I just speak to him.
You know, for about a year now, I've been battling a stomach condition. And I said, well, you know, I'll deal with it. But I said, you know what? I need prayer.
Yeah.
So, you know, every time I go to the doctor, they add on something and something. And I know in about a year now, I've been fighting an issue that's precancerous. And I really have to watch what I eat because everything I eat, it gets makes it worse. So I'm limited to foods, and went back maybe a couple weeks ago. She had done something else to that. So it's like, keep going on and on and on. And I said, I'm tired of all this, but, you know, I'm not accepting that. I mean, I'm accepting my healing. I believe I'm healed. I mean, you know, when people throw around the cancer word, it scares you. And I said, you know, I got a God that, you know, he's going to heal this. I believe it.
Okay. Amen.
And, you know, for so long, you know, I used to, when I was young, and I didn't know really God was talking to me at a young age, but, and I keep it with me here, I have this scripture that kept me through so much, and I used to tack it on stuff. You know, even in school, I used to tack these scriptures on my books. So Amen. When I opened that book in the morning, I knew God was with me. Yeah. And my favorite scripture, which I have it in like every little thing, I tack it on stuff, but it's Isaiah 41:10. Uh-huh. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Okay. And that has got me through so much. Amen. That has got me through thick and thin. And even, you know, as adults, we still do this. And I say for the young kids, you know, in the morning, tack it on your math book. Tack it on something so you know in the morning God is with you.
Amen.
So I have a soft spot for the young kids. I mean, I used to, with Ohio State, I counseled them. I would work for a runaway shelter. And the biggest thing those kids would say was, I couldn't talk to my parents, but these kids can talk to Amen. You guys. I mean, you have God in you. They know they can go run to your parents. One, you know, because the world today is 10 times worse. I used to work at Dartmouth Hospital. I don't know if they have that here. My dad was a pharmacist there, and I think they closed it down. But I worked there with kids, and they were suicidal. Mm. I mean, they had major issues. And that's the one thing they couldn't talk to parents. They would go to the world for help. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it broke my heart, you know, yeah. to see it. And but you don't have to go to the world. Kids, keep go to this is Amen. your foundation. This is where you build it up. Start off young. I mean, Amen. You grow up, keep it in you. Keep those scriptures with you every yes. single day.
Amen.
You have to repeat it over and over and over and over.
That's right.
Keep it with you. Amen. Put it in your pocket. Write it on your hand. Amen. I did, and Amen. It got me through, even though when I didn't think, you know, I couldn't go to the world. I couldn't go to friends because they would lead me down the wrong way. So the one thing that kept me was God all those years. And I can look back today, look where I am now. I mean, it might be a long road from where I came from, but I knew God was with me the whole time.
Amen.
And young kids, God is with you the whole time.
Amen.
He's with you. So just trust in him.
Amen. God bless you.
That was a beautiful testimony, and that really encouraged me, because God's word, that's where we get our strength from. And I've been thinking two major things in my head this week. I've been thinking about God's provided way, because that's just God vindicating it to me, because I've been trying to get closer in my relationship with God. They said pray and read your scriptures, and I've also been listening to a couple of Brother Brandon messages too, because I don't want to be ignorant in this thing. I want to know. And it's Amen. Funny, because the day before Jeremiah preached, that's the message I listened to.
Amen.
And I was just thinking, I was like, God, he's talking about in the natural, God's provided way. Like, if you have a duck and you keep him from migraine, he doesn't get the seeds he needs, doesn't get the nutrients he needs. And if you have that tree that dies for winter, it sucks its life back in. If you try to pull that life out of it, you'll kill it. And
Amen.
I was thinking, God's provided a way for this end time is this bride. And if you don't go through that, you'll die. There's
That's
death
right.
if you don't go through God's provided
right.
way. And I'm just thankful. I know how it trickles down. I know it comes from the ministry to my husband, to me. And I know
yes.
I have my own personal relationship. I'm so thankful that I know God's provided a way. And not only do I know it, I can follow it and I can put it in my life. And God honors that. And I was just sitting there thinking, you had said at the end of service, like, to say to yourself, like, you're God's provided way. And I know that God just blesses you for listening, but it also just helps me so much because it's so true.
Right.
And like some things I just do just because out of head knowledge, because I just know you should. But that one, like, there's a revelation on that.
Yeah.
And I know that, and I was so thankful. And I was sitting there, and I've been thinking the song, God is my everything, all week, because God really is my everything. He's my hope and sorrow. He's the my joy and sorrow. He's the only hope I have for tomorrow.
Amen.
He's the only thing that gets me through this. I'm like,
yeah,
Dad
yes.
is saying, like, it's God on the mountain. And I'm just thankful that I can see that, that I don't look at my own flesh, and I can just see the revelation I have, and I'm just thankful for it. And I love this place, and I really do believe we have something special here. I know
yes.
that there's bright all around the world, but sometimes I see certain things and say, I'm like, I'm just thankful for the rest we have here, the balance we have here, because God is good to us. And
amen.
I just am thankful for our ministry. I'm thankful for my husband. I'm thankful for this church, because there's a real love in this church. You come in here and you're not being judged by everyone. And there's just so much love here, and I'm just thankful for it.
Amen. God bless you, Johanna. Wow, that's beautiful.
Yep. Oh, I'm just so happy to be here. I'm so full right now. You know, having a revelation can never be overemphasized, Brother Branham said. And you know, when I look at what the ministry's brought forth, it does something. You know, that word has the power in itself to bring itself to pass, but it's in flesh now, and it's doing through flesh. And like Sis said, if you don't come through the bride, you'll die. She's the only life that's on the earth right now. And, you know, I was at a little Mexican restaurant yesterday. And the reason why I said having a revelation can never be overemphasized is because you could tie it to everything. You could put everything on it, and it'll show you what it really is. And so our waitress comes to the table, and I speak no Spanish. And she spoke no English. And so we're using our phones, a device, to translate what we're saying, right? And the funniest part about it was, like, we were trying our hardest to tell her, hey, we need, you know, cheese, we need some sour cream. So she thought, you know, that she got what we were trying to say to her, and we thought that she understood what we were saying. So she goes, our meal comes back, you know, some things are right, some things are wrong. But that's kind of like this church world, you know? They'll interpret this and think that they're doing something, but really they don't know that they're doing God a service without it being his will. And I love how he said, you know, seal these things up. He put it in symbol form. So you'll need something to actually break open that code, you know? You need a new birth. You need to have a revelation to even tap into what the ministry's been bringing, what God's opened up for us in this day. And it's so important to have a new birth because it ties you to the body. And that, you know, through the ages and stuff, I was looking, so many things was hitting me and so many things are hitting me now, but through those ages, you know, they needed word, just like we needed word in this age. But we got full word. And they had a part to play, but we can see it all. And the thing that blessed me so much was that, you know, when you get it right, when you have a new birth, you get it right, and everything can be perfect. You get perfect word, there's perfect faith, perfect word on the scene. I just, so many things are hitting me right now, but I just, you know what I mean. It's just a revelation, and I'm just so happy to be here. Thank you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. What's that?
It is good to be here.
Amen.
Where the truth is at. But the water flows.
Yes.
I tell you what, I've been thinking, you know, the importance of a birth, but you know what I'm thankful for? Foreknowledge. Yeah. I'm thankful that because he saw it before the foundation. Yeah. You know, so often, you know, we get swayed. You know, we're flesh. We have two realms that need to be changed. Yeah. And things change. You know, they try to sway us. But you know what? He gave us everything we need. Yes. He foresaw before the foundation of the earth exactly what Seth needed for this day. I love that because then it changes the way I read certain scriptures. You know, before you have a birth, you know, I read a scripture. You can read it two ways. You know, Romans 8 and 28. Mm-hmm. You know, you read it two ways. You say you can use it as a grace. All things work together. I'm good to go. Like they said, right. I guess I'm done. I've made it. I'm good.
Right.
But it says, and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God. I love God.
Right.
This is where I want to be. This is where I want my kids to be. But you know what? For me and my house, if nothing else, I have a job to do. Changes things. Changes the way you look at things. To them who are called according to his purpose.
Amen.
What's his purpose? Right. What's his purpose?
Right.
You start reading things differently. And then this is the fun part. For whom? Because the people stop. People stop. They'll pick and choose.
Yeah, they just pick all things.
All things.
Yeah.
But for him, he did foreknow.
Okay.
Yeah.
He also did predestinate.
Right.
To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. I am thankful for revelation. I'm thankful that God put an ear that I can hear, that I can understand and see God.
Yes.
Because a lot of people in this world, they'll walk across God, and I'm like, okay, well, you either go one way, turn or burn. You know, it's the truth. But I love the revelation, Amen. The fact that, you know, sometimes you need a good whooping. It's funny because God's provided a way. It works. In my line of work, we all about evidence-based practice. Tried and true, you know, spare the rod, you spoil the child. I don't lay out a sin. This age is tough. This is, right. But we are uniquely built mm-hmm. to weather it. We're going to get the body up. We're going to have a rapture. Yeah. This is, you look around at each other, you should be like, wow, this is it. This is the army that we might be few. I look at these pictures. Look at the pictures, all the faces. And we got a small army, but I tell you what, one or two are gathered. God is there. Mm-hmm. We don't need a big body.
No.
But we are strong. I hear these testimonies, and it turns me on because we're prophesying again.
Right.
Yes, we are. Get up, little bride. I love it. I love the fact that we're calling for things again. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not getting up swayed by things. Our roots are planted strong.
Right.
We're strong. So I thank God for revelation. I thank God that He foresaw me before everything. Where I'm not tossed or turned. He put everything in me to where it's a manifestation. It's a manifestation of what I need for that time. I may not know what I need, but God knew. And I think, I just want to be sensitive and be a willing vessel where He can manifest Himself. Because if not, I'm doing is filthy rags and producing something that's not going to bless Him.
Right.
So Lord, I offer myself to You. Lord, thank You for another opportunity to make it through these doors once again.
Amen.
Because this is where you get your marching orders. Mm-hmm. This is where you get the truth. This is where you get all the rust shook off of you, where you can go back out there and make it to the next service, until next God's provided worship. So Lord, thank You for everything.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Seth. Brother Mike.
So true.
I was thinking about how a revelation is the end of a struggling nature.
Yeah.
If you look at Luther, there's a lot of things he struggled on. Justification was not one of them.
Right. No.
He never struggled with his revelation.
Right.
We're just blessed with all of them.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have a struggling nature in this day. There's a lot of things I might not understand, but it's just one phone call, one word away.
That's it.
Right.
Everything I need is right here.
Yeah.
And I want to stand on the promises. God's given us promises.
Yes, He has.
And I believe every single one of the promises. And I'm here to say I'm standing on those promises. God, You promised them. It's up to You to keep them, not me. It's up to You to keep them. And I'm calling on them. Here I am. I'm staying on the promise. You said it. I believe it. So let it happen. I'm standing on Your promises because I believe You.
Amen. Amen. Had a longer walk to get to the mic this time.
I'll try it out here. I haven't proved this like David, you know, a little nervous. Nervous enough. I didn't say anything last service.
Come on.
I don't see how y'all can go service after service
right.
And then jump up cold. I can't do it. The devil trying to take my voice, but I'm getting it back.
Yeah.
So he's in trouble again. But, you know, I appreciate the testimonies so much, so much. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. And here, and I'm doing that. But, you know, the Lord's been good. You know, there was a scripture says, you know, Thy word have I hid in my heart,
right.
That I might not sin against You.
Amen.
And I looked at these Saturday night or Sunday night Bible study and everything. I think it's wonderful because I know what's kept me over the years.
Amen.
You know, I those scriptures come up. I think of scriptures I hadn't read for 20 years. But you put something in there that the Lord can bring up later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you got something for Him to work with when you study the Word, when you just read. I don't even study. I just read. You know, and then He wakes me up and, you know, He starts tying things together, and it's a wonderful thing. You know, because it lets me know He's real. Because I don't do this on my own. And most of the time, I'm not piecing scriptures together. Most of the time, I'm just carnal as anybody else. But when He comes, I get in my car alone, I start talking to myself. And He gets in that conversation in no time. Before long, we're just having a good old time.
Yeah, man.
And I appreciate that, because that's real, you know. And anything that makes us revelation more real to you is a precious thing.
Amen.
You know, when I get up, I want to say the word. Yes. I want to speak word upon word. Yes. I want to speak something that ties, something that has blessed me and maybe to bless somebody else. Yes. You know, I don't want to be backwards. The devil's sitting there telling me, he said, you ain't getting up. You ain't got nothing to say. You ain't got your voice back yet. You're going to squeak and sound like a 13-year-old. And I said, that's all right. I got enough voice. They can understand me. But, you know, I love this word with all that lies within me. And I've been saying it for about 15 years. I thought about that when I was 50. You know, if I'm ever going to do anything for God, I better get busy and do it. You know, and I look back through my life and I think, even now, I haven't done anything. But you know it, that I might not sin against you. You know, the church world and maybe our carnal thinking, well, that's so I won't mess up. That's so I won't lust after some woman. That's so I won't get upset, you know. No, that I might not disbelieve your word.
Right.
That I might hold it in my heart. That's in front of me. I walk with that revelation before me all the time. Everything I do. I don't care if I'm all carnal. You know, it don't take long. That revelation comes right back to me, and that's my stay. That's the thing I've built my life on. You know, that's the thing that surrounds me. I walk in that presence.
Right.
You know, Paul talked about praying always. You know, not just getting down and having a good old time, but we're praying always. You've always got that revelation in your heart right before you. And, you know, And you think, you know, and you know, it's two extremes. Well, it's time to get out of here. Well, yeah, it is. But we're not out of here yet.
Right.
I've got a whole lot to do yet. You know,
sure.
I'm thinking my personal life and thinking my spiritual life and thinking everything around me. I've got so much to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's laying before me. And God's in it.
Amen.
And God's leading me. You know, if I'm going to go over here, guess what? That God's leading me.
God's leading
me. If I want to go over here, it's God leading me.
Right.
Well, I don't second check. Yeah, second guess it. You know, I was thinking about Brother Branham when he was up on the mountain and that storm was coming in, you know, and God touched him on the shoulder. And he said, oh, this is my imagination. You know, I'm thinking, the prophet, God dealt with him so many times.
Right.
How could that, you know, but he's still a man.
Yeah.
He's still a man. He said, almost want to second guess God, you know. I don't want us to do that.
Amen. Right.
You know, when God says something, it's real.
Right, yes.
Yeah. It's to be taken very, very seriously.
Right. Amen.
You know, and he says, I'm healed. I'm healed.
I'm healed, yeah.
Ain't no devil in the hell can tell me anything different.
Right.
And the sister talking about cancer, you know, and we don't fear cancer.
No.
At all, right? We don't fear anything the devil's got around here. We're believers. Mm-hmm. And if it's that time where you start acting like it.
Amen.
Start doing something for God. Amen. As believers, as a body, as the bride, it sure is now.
Amen.
You know, I get kind of tickled at Caleb. He's my son. And, he walks in here, serious as a heart attack.
Yeah.
Making light about nothing, you know. You think, well, he's sleepy this time. No, he's a serious man.
I'm serious,
you know,
right.
And this bride needs to be very serious.
Amen. Yes,
I don't have time to play with the devil. I dance with him here and there, and I throw him over in the corner. But I ain't got time to fool with him. I ain't got time to listen to his nonsense.
Mm-mm.
I ain't got time to give him a time of day, as Brother Childers used to always say.
Right.
Don't give him the time of day. He's up to no good. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. Everything he says out of his mouth is a deception and is a lie. And it's trying to pull you away from the Word of God. I don't have time for that. I tell you every time we talk about sickness, I don't have time for that.
I don't.
Anything he brings me, I don't have time for that.
Amen.
I'm a believer. I'm a strong man.
Amen.
I'm the strongest man ever been on this world.
Amen.
In all of time. I don't have time to play with the devil at all. I am a believer. And I will get the dead up, and I'll live a victorious life every day of my life till I do that. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless Brother John. The brothers come and get the offering here. It's good to be here this morning. I appreciate the testimonies and the songs. And we're going to sing Blessed Assurance in the Only Believe, page 176. You know, the song that started off with, you know, when the sisters played that, I'm available to you. You know, that takes me back because that was a song we had at my wedding. And I love the verse there. It says, so with my eyes, I see a need for more availability. You know, and the time is coming where we got to be, you know, like you said, if I'm ever going to do anything for God, There's so much to do. You know, I know we want to get out of here, but there's so much to do. You know, there's people that need this. There's people. We don't stop broadcasting the service. We don't stop. We don't skip Sundays. We don't just kind of. He says, still plant the potatoes. We still got things to do. I'm still here, so that means there's still things to do. You know. And I even thought about like how you know even when you get married, you know it's a Christian ceremony, but it's to help you. Help you serve God.
That's right.
You know, that's why I love that song even at the wedding was I should be more available, Lord. You know, I now got a helpmate that can help me through this. You know, that's just even that thinking is gone from the world. They don't want anybody to even help them serve God because they don't want to serve God. So it's just they're not planning on serving God. So I just thought like, my goodness. And then, you know, when the brother Seth was reading that scripture, it said, you know, by God's foreknowledge, he predestinated. Right. They get that all messed up. They predestinate and then foreknowledge. No. God saw what you would do with the word. That's how he was able to predestinate you. That's why we can read Romans 8:28 way different than anybody else. We say, you know, I love that God basically gave you the dessert first. He said all things work together. But then let's talk about how it does work together. That shows even how God's mind is even eternal. He says all things work together for those. Right, and then he goes and talks about who it's going to work for. The church world skips the those part. They just assume it's for everybody. No, it's just for those that love the Lord. I really, really love the Lord. Like I proved it. I prove it more and more every day. I love the Lord when it didn't matter to anybody else. I love God when it doesn't matter to anybody else. I love God for me, regardless of whatever he gave me. And once I realized that, then when I saw what God could do, I mean, just we love God. You know, anybody tell me different, I'll punch him in the face. I've been here too long. It's like you can't make me doubt what I got. I've seen it happen for my life. I've seen it for myself. I've got so much faith, I almost don't need faith. And you get what I'm saying. I've seen God move so much that I know he's going to move. I take steps just because I know it's going to be there.
That's right.
And I just thought, my goodness, we come into this place, we get praise and we get worship and we get the truth and we get a balance. And you know, Brother Isaiah, you was talking about having that interpreter and talking those things. And you know, what the problem with the church world is, to be an accurate interpreter, you got to speak both languages fluently.
Right.
That's the problem with the world. They don't know the other language. Right. They don't know God's language. That's you know, right. They're just guessing. They're hoping. Right. You know, you ever see those people that try to act like they're sign language? If you don't know sign language, you're like, yeah. It looks like right. It looks like they're doing something right. It looks like they're moving correctly. It looks like they're praising God. It looks like they got an idea of what's going on. But if you don't know the language, then you have no clue who's right or wrong. But I can clearly go through the book and clearly see what God is saying. I know what he's saying. I know how he's speaking. The seals have been opened. I have a new birth. I clearly understand what God wants. I know his purpose. I hear him every time he talks to me. Whether he's praising me, whether he's rebuking me, whether he's loving me, whether he's correcting me, I hear his word every single time. Oh my goodness! So I won't take down at all now. I love how Brother Don was saying it, and I just was thinking about you, Brother Don Duskins. I want you to get healed. I want you to get, you know, well. And I love how you're speaking positive. And you remind me of Caleb in the Bible. And when Caleb was older, they said, "I still want my mountain." It wasn't. No, I'm older now. Let you guys go ahead and take it. You guys go ahead. You young guys go ahead and fight it. No. I want my mountain. God promised that to me. I'm standing on that. I still want my mountain. God's. My goodness. We serve a good God. Page 176, key of D. Also, remember Miss Courtney's family. They got the funeral stuff going on tomorrow. She's out there in Louisiana traveling. So remember that. Remember those, the prayer requests as well. Blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a
this is
is my story. Hallelujah. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Hallelujah. Oh, this is my story. Oh, this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission. Hallelujah. Perfect submission. All is at rest. I am my Savior. Am happy and blessed. I'm watching and waiting. Hallelujah. Just watching and waiting. Looking above. Filled with His goodness. Love. This is my story. This is my story. Oh, this is
my song.
Praising all the day long.
Heavenly Father, we come here this morning so grateful for this house, so grateful for this place to come, for you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we are laying everything aside this morning, our work, our home, our families, our friends. We're putting all that aside and come to gather together. These people have done it this morning so that they can hear from you. And Lord, as you come to here today, and you've already spoken to our hearts, but we want to set aside this time for our daily bread. And Lord, we ask you to just take this service and use it for your glory, yours and yours alone. We ask you to send your word for those that are sick out there that couldn't be here this morning, whose desires to be here, but illness and sickness and issues are keeping them out of the house of God today. But Lord, we ask you to send your healing powers to them. We ask you to just, Lord, speak to our hearts this morning, so when we walk away from here today, we will be more enthused than we were when we got here. We will be more determined than when we got here. We'll be more pressed than we had when we come to this place. Scripture said we're pressing towards a mark. That's what we're doing, Lord. And we ask you, as we've opened up the book here this morning, ask you to open our hearts, speak to us, spend a little time with us, Lord. Come by here. Amen. We don't deserve it, Lord, but we desire it. We want you to just speak to our hearts today, for this truly is our story. And Lord Jesus, as you come and walk in our lives and our hearts and our bodies, Lord, it becomes your story. For we are the manifestation of what you wrote about. Take the words that, Lord, are laying before the people, Lord, the waiting congregation, ask you to speak to us. Have thine own way, bind Satan in the name of Jesus Christ, and let your word flow freely through this place. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. I put this up here so I won't forget at the end of service. I've got one for Crystal and one for Sister Christy as well. And we're believers. Amen. I don't care what comes or goes in our life. We're believers. And, you know, Satan can try what he wants. He can try to tell us we're not good enough. And we're not. He could tell us that we're not worthy, and we're not. Right. But it's not about us. That's right. It's about what God wants. And because of that, because of the Word of God, that's the only reason we're as strong as we are. Amen. It's the Word of God. You're only as strong as the Word that you take in. Right. As strong as your revelation, Don. That's only how strong you are. You say, well, I haven't been here long enough. I don't know a lot. You don't have to know a lot. Right. All you got to do is receive what he gives, and then that right there will make you stronger. Right. And as you learn to lean on him, you'll learn more and more how that God can use you. You say, well, I don't know if he can use me. He can use you. Amen. You say, I don't have a lot of knowledge. I don't know a lot. You don't have to have a lot and know a lot. Right. He just wants the vessel. And somebody mentioned the other day about revelation. I think I was texting him or something. He said, it's not about how much you know, but how much you know the author. That's right. If I don't read the book that you wrote, and I just know you, you can tell me anything in that book that you want me to know. Because you wrote it. You even know what you mean by the characters that you created. Right. Now, a lot of people might read the book and not get the meaning behind the meaning. Right. But if you know the author, then when you read about John, he can look in and say, oh, John, he was this. This is the kind of person John was. This is what I meant for John to express. Yes. And this is what the meaning of what John's doing. Right. And so by knowing the author is more important than knowing the book. Amen. I mean, I know Clarice wrote the book on Dilly the violin. Yeah. Have I ever read it? I don't even know if I've read the whole thing. But I know the author. Yeah. And if I need to know something about Dilly, all I got to do is talk to Clarice. I don't even need to go search it, research it. I can even say, Clarice, what did you mean when you created that character? And she can give me the meaning behind the meaning. You might read the book of Revelation, and you might read seals, horse riders, thunders, stars, candlesticks, horror on seven hills. You might read all those things, but if you know the author, I can say, what do you mean by the seven candlesticks? What do you mean by, because he didn't write it. He didn't write it. John was forbidden to write that. He couldn't do it. And because he didn't write it, unless you get to the author, who was Jesus Christ himself, the only book he wrote was the book of Revelation, the only one he wrote himself. But if you don't get a hold of him, you will never understand the book of Revelation. Amen. But if you get the author, and that's what John was saying, he said, blessed is he that readeth and understands. He knew that if you were understanding the book of Revelation, it's because the same one that explained it to him was going to have to be there explaining it to you. And so if you got Jesus Christ standing and talking and explaining the book of Revelation to you, you got the author. You say, well, I don't understand chapter 13. Did the author explain it to you? No. Then don't worry about it. If he wants you to know chapter 13, which is the United States, you know, it's the image to the beast. If he wants you to understand that, he'll break it down. He'll let you know. But if he don't let you know, don't worry about it. You're only responsible. See, people are not going to get in trouble for what they don't know. People are going to get in trouble for what they know and don't do. He that knoweth to do good and don't do it, to him is sin. It's unbelief. And you're going to get in trouble for the unbelief because God's going to lay the book out there. You're going to have the same opportunity that everybody else has. Because when he speaks, he's not speaking in an alley somewhere. He's not back in a corner somewhere. He is standing where everybody can hear him. And if they want it, they can have it. If they don't want it, they don't have to have it. But when that day of judgment comes, he's going to hold them accountable for what they don't believe.
Amen.
So you say, well, I don't know a lot. Just believe what you know. Because he's the one that's got to reveal it. And he will reveal it to you in his time. You're going to have every revelation you need when you get out of here. I said before Brother Childers got out of here, I said, I want to know, I want everything this man's got. And I knew that God would give me everything that I needed from him before he left here. And he did. I'm not sitting back saying, oh, I should have spent more time with Brother Children. Oh, I should have lived Brother Children. Oh, I should have known, should have nothing. God gave me everything I needed. Amen. And the same with the prophet. We got everything out of William Branham that he was supposed to give us before he left here. And if you think you got to get more, you got to get a new prophet, you got to get more information, we got to wait on the seven seals to come back, we got to wait on Brother Branham to come back, if you got to wait on anybody to come back, you're missing something because the one that he introduced is still here.
Amen. Amen.
How do you know he's here? He talks to me all the time. He reveals himself to me all the time. He makes himself known to me all the time. So I ain't short nowhere.
Amen.
So it's good to be back in the house of the Lord. It's good to be back amongst the living. And I ain't talking about natural. You have passed from death unto life. So you're the living. So it's good to be here this morning. Better get started. Can't get finished if you don't start. If you will turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to start reading here. And I like that you all are bringing your Bibles because as we turn through the scriptures, it teaches you where to find them. And then you know when to go home and look, you can look back. And I was thinking about my own stuff. I got my Bible here. And a lot of times what I do, when I read a scripture, I'll highlight, not the whole thing, but I'll highlight the number or something. And then when I go back and look at it later, I know I've been here.
I've got footprints in my Bible. And so I have my little highlighter. I always take it with me. And I like to do that because it's good to be able to tell where you've been. But it's better to be able to tell where you're going. So I'm going to start over here with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting with verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Amen. So when this corruptible shall be put on, and when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, this is where I'm getting my thought from, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Amen.
May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I like to title this message this morning, Standing Strong. Yes. And I wanted to talk on this morning because, you know, we need to understand that when you have the word of God on your side, you don't have to put up with nothing.
That's
right.
Okay.
You don't. You don't have to put up with nothing the devil throws at you. So before I get going, good, I wanted to start on 51 because it's just too good to pass. I couldn't get down there to 58 and not read the first part of it. And I was thinking about this, I think it was this morning. It says, it's going to show us a mystery.
Yeah.
And it is a mystery.
Yes.
It's a mystery. Whenever the Bible talks about a mystery, that means it's something that everybody can't get.
Right. Amen.
That's something that's hidden.
Right.
Something that's unknown.
Yeah.
He said, now, let me show you a mystery.
Amen.
We shall not all sleep.
Right.
You know, we usually use this as a funeral text. A lot of times you're trying to convince people that this person hasn't died, but they just went on.
Yes.
And that's not even permanent. But it's temporary. But I want to use it this morning to let us understand that we don't have to put up with nothing. We shall not all sleep. And I realized when I was reading about this, I was thinking about looking at this morning, and I thought, you know what? He ain't talking about everybody. He's talking about a specific group of people. He's talking about a specific resurrection.
Amen.
He's not even talking about the general resurrection. How do you know that? Because he said, we shall not all sleep.
Right.
See, there's two resurrections coming.
Yeah.
There's a resurrection for the bride, which will get the bride from all ages. And in that resurrection, some will be sleeping and some will be awake.
Right.
That's the resurrection he's talking about.
Right.
We shall not all sleep. But shall be changed.
Yeah.
When you're talking about that first resurrection, you got a combination of people in that resurrection.
Right.
You got some that are dead and got to come out from the grave.
Yeah.
And you got some that are alive and have to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye.
That's right.
That shows you it's not the second resurrection. Because when the second resurrection happened 1,000 years later, it's going to happen that all the dead will hear his voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, all the dead won't hear this voice. Only the elect's going to hear this voice. And the voice that's going to get the dead up is already sounding. If you don't hear my voice right now, you'll never hear their voice. Because the voice is already sounding. Remember, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and a voice and the trump of God. All three happens, Brother Branham said, in his coming. We've already had to shout. The world's missed it. We've already had the voice. The world's missed it. And the trump, they will miss. The final trump, they will miss. We will hear the trump. And the only reason you're going to hear the trump is because you heard the voice. Do you realize if you don't hear the voice, you ain't going in a rapture? My goodness. That's important. You wonder why we have this message. You wonder why we believe what we believe. You wonder why God sent a prophet. God sent a prophet to bring us to a voice. Why did God bring a voice? God brought a voice to bring us to a trump. A uniting. The trumpet is a uniting time. It's a uniting. It's a uniting of people. When the king is gathering the people together, he does it with the trump.
That's right.
Church world thinks there's going to be this big old trumpet come through the clouds. And everybody's going to hear this trumpet, and everybody's going to realize it's over. Do you realize it's over already? And they don't even know it? Do you know the trump is about to sound, and all that trump's going to do is get the living with the dead? At the final trump.
Amen.
We shall all be changed. See, everybody who hears the voice will change. Everybody. Everybody. We all will hear it, and we'll all be changed. Not most, not some. We all will. See, you got to realize who you are. You got to realize you're stronger than you think you are. You're going to have to realize that you got more authority than you even taking credit for. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen so fast. People are always worried about how's it going to be? Is it going to hurt? When they come back in the theophany and they get their glorified, and we got to get our glorified, and we got to meet up with our theophany, and y'all acting like it's 20 minutes, 30, 40 minutes of torture between here and there. It's going to happen. Do you know a twinkling of an eye is faster than a bat of an eye? You can see a bat of an eyelid. You might miss a twinkle, and most times do. A twinkle is just a... See, you missed it. It happens so fast. We're all worried about this 30 to 40 day period. We spend so much time trying to figure out who's going to be in this 30 to 40 day, and why is it 30 and 40, and how long is it going to take, and well, twinkling of an eye is all you need to worry about. It's going to happen so fast. By the time you realize it's happened, it's already happened. By the time you're thinking about the rapture's on, it's already history. By the time you look at it and says, you're already gone. Twinkling of an eye so fast that the devil ain't going to have time to even grab you. He ain't going to have time to say, wait a minute, you didn't live good enough. Wait a minute, you have problems. Wait a minute, you're sure. He ain't going to have that twinkling. You know, by the time the devil realizes it's happening, it's already done. That's why God ain't wasting no time with it. He's just going to get you. He's going to take you out of here. He's going to give you a new body. It's going to happen so fast that the devil ain't going to have time to slow it down. At the last trump, for the trump of God shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. The trump of God. The Lord himself descended from heaven with a shout, a voice, and a trump. That trump is that trump. That trump is uniting us together. That trump is getting the dead and the living together. You say, well, I live here and you live there, and it might take 30 or 40 days to get there. God's just showing you there's going to be a space of time that's going to be happening. And if it doesn't happen to you right away, just know it's coming. Your twinkle is coming.
Yes.
For the trump shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Do you realize that this is the worst you ever going to have it? Do you realize when we get that change, you're going to be changed into an incorruptible being? Incorruptible is non-corruptible. Sin is gone. The devil, you can't even hear him anymore. Right now, we can still hear him. Right now, our only part of us that's incorruptible is our soul. And we still battle the spirit. We still battle the flesh. And we try to do the best we can and try to live good for God and try to do the best. But the best we do, the devil's always behind us trying to point us out and tell you what you got wrong.
Yeah, right.
Devil's never going to tell you what you got right.
Yeah, right.
He never going to tell you that.
Amen.
You can do everything right and mess up one time. Devil's got, he's all over you. But we will be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. That's a promise. That's a promise. That's what you hold on to. See, I'm talking about being strong. I'm giving you some ammo to beat that devil's head in. I'm giving you ammo to let you realize I can tell the devil, shut up and sit down. I got a body coming. You say, well, this is a wreck, but I got a body coming.
Amen.
But you got problems, but I got a body coming. This body's going to be perfect, incorruptible. And when my body is incorruptible, it won't even have an inlet for the devil to even get in there at all.
Amen.
Reason we're going to have that honeymoon for 1,000 years? Oh, the devil will still be here, but you know what? We won't hear him. Right now, that same radio wave for WHIO radio is going through this building.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what? We don't have no, it has no access to us.
Yeah.
We can't pick it up.
No.
He's going to be here, but he ain't going to bother us.
Right.
And it's going to make him so mad that he has nothing to work in.
Amen.
As long as you don't have a transmitter for the devil, the devil can't bother you. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. Because you can't go to heaven like you are. Contrary to what people think. They think they're good enough to go to heaven. You can't go to heaven in this. This has inlets for Satan. And Satan can still get to your mind. He can still get to your body. He can still put sickness on. He makes you wear glasses. You're getting older. Gray hair. Hair falls out. On and on and on. Won't name it all because y'all start looking around at each other. But Satan still has access. He's still messing with you. He's still. But the thing what you need to understand that you're stronger than you think. If nothing else, I got a body coming. If I can't whip the devil with nothing else, and he says, I'm this and this and this and this, and you're sick, you're tired, you got this problem, you got this sickness, you got that. Just know this, Satan.
Yeah.
I got a body.
Yeah.
Incorruptible.
Right.
And you won't have no inlet to it at all. Your sickness can't bother me. Your bad thoughts can't bother me. Your troubles can't bother me. Your aging can't bother me. I won't hear a thing you got to say. I'll be 18 to 20 years old, somewhere around there, in a perfect body, and won't even be able to hear you. And the biggest thing is that you're going to be here and have to watch me enjoy life without you. Let that devil know who you are. Let him know what he's up against. Let him know what he's dealing with. There comes a time that you got to start using the word of God to defeat that devil.
Amen.
Don't wait till you get a glorified body. Start doing it now.
Amen.
You're one and the same. We sit here and we worry. We worry about sickness. We worry about cancer. We worry about death. We worry about when we're going to die. Do you realize you don't even worry about death?
No, sir.
Death don't have no power over you.
Oh.
You'll never die.
Amen.
Threaten me, Satan. Tell me you're going to give me some terminal something, Satan. I'll take it.
Amen.
If the earthly tabernacle be dissolved, I got another one. You're not even going to scare me with death. That's why cancer doesn't scare us. There's only one thing worse than cancer, and that's death. And if death doesn't scare us, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have been put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory.
Yep.
When we die, we don't die. When we die, I love when I went to Brother Lonnie Jenkins' funeral, I loved what his son said about his dad. And he said his dad, when he was sick, he got down to the last days and he got sick and he was thinking, Lord, I have so much more to do. Lord, I need to be able to go. And his son went into the room and his father was depressed.
Right.
And he reminded him, he said, Dad, this is what you live for all your life. This is what you live your life for Christ for. When you realize that, then you realize, oh, wait a minute. This is homegoing time?
Yeah.
It's a, and he that depression left him. He realized that you're right, son. This is my time to go. And then from there, he slipped into a sleep. And at one point, and I got tickled at this, at one point, I don't know if I ever told you this, but he opened his eyes. And he saw his kids. And he saw his family sitting there, and they were reading the Bible to him. And he had slipped in a coma. He slipped out. He looked at them and said one word. He said, mortals. He was looking for angels.
Amen.
He was looking for glorified bodies.
Yeah.
He was looking for immortality.
Yeah.
He wasn't worried about his family at that point.
Nope.
He wasn't worried about trying to hold on to a radio broadcast at that point. He wasn't worried about having to hang on to things at that point. He was looking for a city whose builder and ruler is God.
Right.
So when you know where you're going, and we do, and we know the best thing that could happen to us is to lay this tabernacle down, then death loses his victory.
Yes.
He doesn't have no control over you no more. When you know somebody is standing in front of you with a gun that doesn't have no bullets in it,
right.
What are you afraid of?
Right.
This little imp with an unloaded gun looking up at me, and all I got to do is kick him one good time. Him and his gun will be gone. But we spend too much time worrying about the devil and what he can do. He can't do nothing. The best shot he's got is death. And that's lost his sting. We don't sit here wondering about, oh, is today the day I'm going to die? Oh, is tomorrow the day? Is it going to happen this week? Oh, death. Where is your sting? Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? Alice always said, I'm not looking for a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky. Well, Alice got her hole in the sky. Because she was laying in a hospital bed. Her body was laying in that bed. But Alice found a hole in the sky. She went to that sixth dimension. And that body went to the hole in the ground. But that wasn't Alice. That wasn't you. That's not me. We'll never die. You know, people in this message, they always say that, but they try to think because they have the message in the revelation that they really, really not die. I ain't talking about this tabernacle. If you keep living up long enough, your tabernacle will die. My tabernacle will die, but I will never die. But that's within me. The real me is eternal. And it'll never go in a hole in the ground.
Amen.
Oh, they talked about brother in South Dakota. I looked and saw them family and friends coming. And he said, give me a ladder. They're just a little higher. I need a ladder to get up there the way they are. Brother Honeycutt. He's like, Clara, give me a ladder. I want to get up there where they are. And she said, oh, you won't need a ladder. Just hang in there. Yeah. We don't need a ladder. Yeah. When that tabernacle lays down, I got another one waiting on me. Yeah. I don't have, there's no grave for me. No. There's no death for me. Amen. There's no death for you. So why are you going to live in fear? Right. Stand strong. Know who you are. Yes.
Amen.
Know why you're here. Know that God is doing these things through you. And he's not even finished when you're finished over here. Right. When it's all said and done, it's going to be God all in all.
Right.
We'll never have a time. Do you realize you'll never have another time when you're without God?
That's right. Amen.
Therefore, my beloved, be ye steadfast.
Yes. Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Be still and know. Be ye steadfast, not tossed to and fro, not letting the devil toss you around, not one day in, one day out, one day up, one day down, one day going, next they can't. One day testify, next they can't. One day sing, next they can't. One day preach, next they can't. Be steadfast.
Right, right.
Drive your stake.
Amen.
Don't ever move it. Don't ever let the devil tell you you're not one of them.
Amen.
Be steadfast. Hold your peace, Satan. I'm here.
Amen.
You're learning how to be strong.
Yeah.
Knowing who you are. Knowing you've got the Word of God on your side.
Amen.
Word of God doesn't teach you defeat. Word of God doesn't tell you I got to accept problems. Word of God doesn't say I got to accept the world. You lay the world down. You run after Christ with everything that lies within you.
Amen.
Put the Word of God in your life. When you get to take the Word of God in you, you will not sin against Him. Be steadfast, unmovable. That means I ain't going nowhere. Devil, you thought you had trouble with me in 1980. You ain't seen nothing yet. He sits back down in a corner like, try to approach me. The devil fears the bride. She's strong. She's invincible. She's unmovable. She knows who she is.
Amen.
And he knows. Remember the disciples that went to pray? They saw Paul praying for the sick. And they did it and it worked. And these were some people that weren't believers. They didn't have the Word of God on their side. They didn't know who they were. But you know the devil knew who they were. But the devil didn't care about them because he don't keep a track of listening who he has on his side. He just throws them in the pile. He don't care. He don't love his own. He just throws them in the pile. They went after the person that had a demon in them. And they thought, if Paul can do this, if Peter can do this, we're going to cast the devil out in the name of the Lord Jesus, whom Paul serves, whom Paul preaches. That demon looked at them. Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? You must be one of mine. See, the devil don't care how many kids he has. He don't even track them down or nothing. He don't ever look back. He don't know who those kids are. He's the worst father ever.
Amen.
It's like Peter, and he went out, and the devil ripped their clothes off.
Yeah.
Still running.
Yeah.
See, he doesn't know, but the devil knows the bride.
Amen.
She is an invincible army.
Yes.
She is stronger than anything the devil can throw at her. You got to know that. You got to come over here and say, I'm sorry. Like Christy said, get yourself a scripture.
Yes.
What was it? Isaiah 41, and 10. If you don't have one, there's one. Start there. But you young people, do that. That's a smart thing. That's a smart thing. Because you're going out here every day and the devil facing them, you need the word of God to go before you. You need something to remind you of who you really are, because that's not who you really are. This is who you really are. Be steadfast, unmovable. The only thing that's unmovable is the word of God. Stand on that. And when you got the word of God behind you, I don't care what the devil says. Doesn't matter what he says. He's a liar and the father of it. He ain't serious about this thing. We're serious about this thing. I'm serious in serving God. I'm giving it my all. You say you can do better. I may can do better, but I'm giving all I got. I might have an old car. You know, I had old cars before. Your old car, when I had my little Volkswagen, it was an old Volkswagen, I'd put that gas pedal all the way to the floor. It may not be going to speed limit, but it's moving, and I might be going up that hill slow, but I was moving. I may not have as much as that convertible has under its hood, but I'm doing the best I got with what I've got. That's all that God requires. He wants you to give your all. He wants you to submit your all. He wants you to let him have your all. Amen. You say, but I don't have a lot. Give him a little. You give him a little, he'll give you more. You give to God, he'll give back to you. You take one word and start standing on that, he'll give you another.
That's right. Amen.
Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always.
Yes.
Watch what God's doing.
Yeah.
Stand right in the middle of it. Whatever God's doing, I'm doing.
That's it.
Whatever God's doing, I'm involved with it.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes, I'll do it. If you won't do it, get out of my way. I'll do it.
Right.
I'll run this church by myself if I have to. I said, and I got tickled at myself because now that I'm self-employed, my these guys back there going to get me. I sit in my office yesterday, rolled my sleeves up, got my Outlook loaded on my computer. I said, I can do this. And I started getting in there and doing some stuff. And I thought, now I need my Outlook to hook to my phone. And I started trying to figure it out. And I was like, I need my technicians. I can't do this. Some things you can't do. But what you can do, do it.
Amen.
Do it all your heart. Stand with all your might.
Yeah.
Don't let the devil push you in some corner somewhere. Put him in the corner.
Amen.
You say, you can't tell the devil to sit down. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
You can't tell the devil to get off of you. Oh, yes, you can.
Amen.
You can't tell sickness to go. Oh, yes, you can.
Yeah. I can give
Amen.
Don't have to take the devil's lie.
Nope.
He's going to tell you you're sick even when you're well. Don't wait until you're 100%.
No.
If you're 20% better,
yeah,
walk with that 20%.
I'm healed.
Thank God I'm healed.
Yeah.
Thank God I'm healed. The whole time, the devil was saying, you ain't healed.
Amen.
Look at you. You can't move. You got your foot to the metal, pedal to the metal, and you still ain't going to wear it. Just barely moving, but I'm moving. Barely living, but I'm breathing. Barely, you can't testify. Don's like, I can't sing, but I got half my voice back. So if I can't sing, I'm going to get out here and I'm going to testify.
Right.
If I can't testify, I'm going to clap my hand.
Right.
If I can't clap my hand, I'm going to stomp my feet.
Right.
If I can't do nothing else, I just wave my hand.
Yeah.
Devil ain't going to stop me. I'm stronger than him. I'm greater than him. And I'll use what I have, whatever little I have, I'm going to give it to God. Y'all don't understand, but when we preachers go home from preaching, we're usually hoarse. Next day, we don't have a voice.
Right.
And we're talking to Jeremiah and Jay. You know, they're leading people, and they got to go to work. And I remember going to work on Monday morning. And you go to work, and the first time somebody says something, you're like, good morning. I'm like, whoa, what happened to you?
Yeah.
And Nate, you can't explain to them.
No.
Just a little hoarse today.
Yeah.
But you don't tell them why.
Right.
But we give our all.
Yeah.
When you leave here, your hands should be sore.
Right.
Your feet should be sore.
Yeah.
You should be just as tired as the preacher when you leave here.
Yeah.
It ain't just me getting worn out. This whole church should get worn out. Don's called me before. God bless you, Pastor. What's wrong with you? I was at church yesterday. But that's what God wants. Give him what you got. He don't need you to do everything. Just do your little part. If it ain't nothing but his hand, amen, preach it. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. In the Lord. Your labor could be in vain if it ain't in the Lord. And it is in vain if it's not in the Lord. But if your labor, what you do, only what you do for Christ will last. If what you're doing is for Christ, that's not in vain. If you give your time, it's for the Lord, it's not in vain. If you give your money for the Lord, it's not in vain. If you give your talent for the Lord, it's not in vain. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added unto you. As you need it, God will give it to you. But if you're half-stepping God, God's going to half-step you. You say, but I never get blessed by God. Whose fault is that? Seek, you'll find. Knock, he'll open. That's the way it works. You know that old saying says, if you feel far away from God, who moved? Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He'll bless you today like he did last week. You say, I got blessed last week. What'd you do last week? Do it again this week. Throw up a rock. Make it happen. Brother Branham says sometimes you got to make something happen. You say, well, I don't feel like I need to shout. Throw up a rock. Start waving your hands. Start tapping your feet. Start doing something. Next thing you know, Brother Branham went to this Pentecostal church. He didn't understand about shouting, and he was went to this Pentecostal church service, and he thought it was fake. And he's watching them, and they got out on the floor, and they started dancing. Brother Branham thought, look at there. And brother, next thing you know, Brother Branham's out on the floor dancing. He found out there's a real thing in serving God. There's a real worship in serving God. You can get as much out of this service as you want. Be steadfast, unmovable, not letting the devil tell you you're not. Remind him of who you are.
Amen. You're right, preacher. You're right.
I'm just going to jump. No. Brother Branham said, I wasn't going to read it. I marked a green, so it said, don't read that. But I'm going to read it. And then there is coming forth the seven mysteries, thunders, that are not even written at all. That's right. And I believe that through the seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we've got now wouldn't be able to do it. Brother Branham knew we didn't have enough. We go to church. We did a lot of things. We cleaned our lives up. We made a lot of things right. We did this. We did that. But what we had wasn't enough. It took those seven unknown thunders to really get us to where we needed to be. And those thunders came in 1963. And we've had those thunders for over 50 years now. And this bride, if she's not strong now, when are you going to get strong? If you're not steadfast now, when are you going to get steadfast? If we've had the Holy Ghost for 50 years in our presence, and if it ain't doing nothing for you now, when's it going to happen? If anybody should be steadfast, it should be us. If anybody should be unmovable, people popping in and out of church like popcorn. One minute you see them, next minute they're gone. One minute they love you, next minute they hate you. One minute they're up, next minute they're down. One minute they're in, next minute they're out. Why halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. Be steadfast. Put your foot down. Be a man. Be a woman. Be a Christian. Be counted for. Be strong. You got to be born again, Brother Lockett. That's what makes you strong. But then after you're born again, don't take down to the devil. You got the tools then. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last days in order to get the bride ready in rapture faith, because what we have right now wouldn't do it. There is something. We've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing, hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up off of the earth. And we'll find after a while, the Lord willing, we'll find where it's written. We needed to have those seven thunders uttered to us. And they have.
Yep.
Now we're not worrying about divine healing. Brother Branham got to a point, he said, I don't have time to have prayer lines. I don't have time to dedicate babies. I got to give way to the Word. I got to give all my time to the Word.
Amen.
This bride, for the last 50 years, have worried about healings and signs and wonders and trying to make themselves look good and trying to get themselves holy and trying to make themselves look like God, when all the time He's right here. When are we going to give time to the Word? If the groom had to give time to the Word, and if our prophet had to give time to the Word, then the bride has to give time to the Word. Lay everything else aside. Don't worry about your sickness. Don't worry about your healing. Don't worry about your problem. Don't worry about your job. Don't give all your time to the Word.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
And He'll take care of everything else.
Amen.
Now, faith is just not a thing that's so easily floated around as some kind of, we call it in a street expression, hocus pocus. Faith can only have its right position when it's placed upon something that's steadfast.
Right.
And the only place that I know that's steadfast is the Word of God.
That's right.
And the only thing we have to offer here is the Word of God. We don't have nothing else. Everybody come and look at us, and they look at this, they look at that, they look around for this, they look around for that. They see this at this church, and they don't see it here. They see it at that church, and they don't see it here. And they're thinking there's something wrong with us here. But the whole time we're sitting there eating the Word of God, like, don't you want that? Don't you want some of this? Don't you want some of this? Don't you want to share in this Word? And they're not focusing on the Word. They're not given to the Word. They're not steadfast in the Word of God. You ask them the Word of God, then they don't have answers. Who else can come and have Sunday night after Sunday night after Sunday night, never open one book and answer every question?
Come on.
Amen.
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 Ah.
Let me tell you a little, give you a little example. We know these, Daniel's chapter 3. These three guys were troublemakers. They didn't fit the mode. They didn't seem like they belonged. They didn't like them. Nobody ever likes believers. They were not like, they were misfits. They didn't follow the rules. Sound familiar?
Yeah.
And everybody looks at them like they don't have it. And the whole time, they were believers. Daniel chapter 3 showed it to us. And when you find it and look at it and you hear about these three boys, and we know the story, the three Hebrew boys, I get tickled reading it because I just love them to death. They're just misfits. I don't know. I guess I like misfits. I guess. But they never fit the mode. I can always appreciate somebody that doesn't fit the mode. I'm so glad we broke the mode here.
Amen.
That we don't have 50, 60 people that look alike, that talk alike, that dress alike, that act alike. They're all individuals. I like that kind of person. When you go to a place and everybody's dressed just alike, everybody's carrying a Bible just alike, I think I've walked into a factory. Things are manufactured here. And the reason you know it's manufactured, because you can duplicate it. When at the turn of the century, those of you who don't know it, at the turn of the century, last century, we didn't have factories. We'd make a widget and we'd sell it. We'd make another widget and we'd sell it. And we'd make another widget, and we'd sell it. Different, none of them looked alike. But some genius, Henry Ford, I was trying to think of his name. Thank you, John. Henry Ford come up with this idea that if I made a line and just made all the same widgets and then made them all exactly alike, and then the next person put the same piece on that widget, standard parts, we can actually manufacture and duplicate the same thing over and over again. And they did. Every part looked just alike. Every part fit just alike. You take it, put in one. It's interchangeable. One go bad, just take it and put another. Genius. When you talk about man. But God never, never manufactured anything. He has a variety in everything he do. There's no two snowflakes. There's no two trees. There's no two birds. There's no two blades of grass. No two believers are just alike.
That's right.
So when you got a church full of everybody that's just alike, somebody's been manufacturing something.
Right.
We all come in our same suits, look alike. All the brothers look alike, dress just alike. And they even talk alike. Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, I've seen it. Been there, done that. And what comes to my mind is, man, how long ago did you come off the line? But then they come here and we're all different, some in suits, some in jeans, some this way and some that way, some this and some that. I'm not filling in the blanks because I'll get in trouble. I'm just saying, we're all different. And where people look at us and they think that's awful, I'm looking and says, thank you, Lord, that shows you were in the midst. You're here.
Amen.
These three Hebrew children, they got in trouble because they wouldn't follow the rule. Their church order and doctrine was messed up. King made a decree, and they didn't pay much attention to the king, which that's awful. Because the Bible says, obey them to have rule over you. They should. I mean, see, we got scriptures against them. That's what those high priests did and all those other people. They were jealous of them, so they used the scriptures against them. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego found themselves in odds against the king. And because they were jealous of him, they had the king to sign this decree that they were supposed to bow down to the king. And because these were strong believers, they weren't worried about no king. They weren't worried about no bishop. They weren't worried about no elders. They weren't worried about living. They weren't worried about dying. See, I'm talking about a strong believer. I'm talking about a real believer. When you got a real believer in your hand, they're not wishy-washy. When you got a real believer in your hand, they're not weak.
No.
Because they're going to stand on the word. And if you stand on the word of God, you will come across really bold.
Uh-huh.
You will. You might be as humble as you can be. But when you start spitting out the word of God, it's going to be bold.
Yeah.
And they're going to misunderstand you. And you're going to be in trouble. But a strong believer will stand on the word of God no matter what they're faced with.
Right.
Chapter 3, verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer because they ask him, well, hey, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah.
We're going to kill you. We're going to burn you. We're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. They're looking at the king's like. So then they thought they'd better at least respond to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not watching. I'm not biting my tongue.
Nope.
I'm talking about a believer.
Yeah.
When the devil tries to convince you of something different, a believer has got to stand up and be counted for.
Amen.
They will because they're a strong believer.
Yeah.
Amen.
Those three said, I'm not worried about what you think, king. I'm not even going to be careful how I answer you. I know you're the king, but I got a bigger king that I got to be responsible to. I remember my mother one time, She got in a, it was a heated discussion with our siding guy. I don't know if Melanie even noticed. It was me and my mama. We were standing there. And I was standing behind her because ain't nobody going to mess with my mama. She's talking to the siding guy. He was outside and she's standing in the door. And I'm standing behind mama. And this guy, my mama was giving him what for. And she's a Christian and a good lady, but she was strong. You can just push her around. I don't even know what got him, what she said to getting to that point. I just remember these words. You better get you a lawyer. And mama said, you better get you a lawyer because I got mine. And she closed the door in his face and walked away. And she said, my lawyer's Jesus. That's kind of mama I had. She had the right lawyer. We never lost that case. I don't know what happened, but I know that she had her lawyer on the job. See, when you are a believer, you don't have to be careful to what the devil says. You don't have to take down to the devil. You don't have to put up with his junk.
Amen.
Not a strong believer. You stand on the word of God. You stand like they did. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, I don't have to even be careful how to answer you, King. What you going to do, kill me? You're planning on it anyway. So why do I got to be careful? If you're going to kill me, why don't I already know you got the fiery furnace over there, and I know you got a plan for us. So why do I got to be careful what I say to you? Like you're going to change your mind? I don't even want you to change your mind. Because if this earthly tabernacle could be dissolved, I got another one. Right. Yeah. I ain't worried about you. I got another king I answer to.
Right. Amen.
I have to be careful to answer in this matter. And if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. If it be so. See, we get scared of circumstances. Doctor give us a diagnosis. Oh. Every last person in this room, someday, if the Lord tarries, will die. So we've all got that on the agenda. So why are we going to live in fear when we know it's going to happen at some point if the Lord doesn't deliver us? You need to be accounted for. You need to be strong. You need to not worry about what the king says, but say, you know what? God can deliver me. Doctor tells you a diagnosis, so that's all right. But you know what? God can deliver me, Sister Christy. God is able. He's able, church. Say he's able.
He's able.
That's what we need to start saying. We look at circumstances, Don, and sometimes circumstances outweigh what the Word of God says. But in the middle of all the circumstances, God is able. And a strong believer is going to say that.
Amen.
Oh, no, don't give me that news. Amen. That ain't that bad. So you're telling me I only have 6 months to live. I have 6 months to live for Christ.
Amen.
But even at that, doctor, God is able.
Amen.
I ain't worried about your 6 months. I ain't worried about your determination. I ain't worried about your problem. I ain't worried about your shortcoming. My God is able.
Amen.
That's a strong believer. That's where we should be. After 50 years of him being here and after God has shown us. He has proven himself. He has healed cancer. He has healed blindness. He has healed unbelief. He has healed many problems. He has lengthened legs. He has straightened out arms. He's done many things. He's opened the blinded eyes. He's done all these things. And you're going to sit here and still wonder if God is able? He's more than able.
Yeah.
He's more than able to take care of you. He's more than able to keep you. He's more than able to give you a way out. He said, I'll give you a way out when it don't seem like there's a way out.
Yeah.
I'll make a door where there's a wall.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
But if it be so,
come on.
Doctor, even if you're right, husband, even if it's the truth,
yeah.
neighbor, even if you think so. If it is even true. If it be so, God, whom I serve, in the middle of your troubles, be a strong believer. If it be so, Lord, that I got to go through this. God, who I serve a living God.
That's right.
I serve a real God. I serve a God that hears all my prayers. I serve a God that answers all my needs. I serve a God that delivers me from all of my sicknesses. Even if it's true, the God that I serve, the God whom we serve, is able. God is able. He'll do it. His word said it. And if he doesn't do it, he's still able. I don't care if I fall on my face, he's still able. Brother Branham said, if I lost a case, I stood up and prayed for the next one. I still believe God because God is able. If he never heals me, he's still able to heal me. If he never gives me what I want, he's still able to supply all my needs. Don't you lie to me, Satan, and say God ain't able. God is able. The God whom I serve is able to deliver me. That's a strong believer. That's a strong believer. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hands, O King. I'm going to be out of your hands one way or the other. You ain't going to, if you throw me in the fiery furnace, I'm out of your hands. If you set me free, I'm out of your hands. If God comes and visits me, I'm out. See, they didn't, you got to understand, they did not know what God was going to do. See, we don't know. But sometimes we don't know, but we act like we know. We act like God can't. We act like, well, maybe this one, this time, the devil's got it. No, when you don't even see over the horizon, you don't know what's coming. You're not saying what you're saying because you see the end from the beginning. You're saying what you're saying because the Word of God says it.
Amen.
That's a strong believer for you. You're saying because God said, these three boys didn't know what God was going to do. They didn't know how God was going to deliver. They thought they were going to die and go to heaven. But they let the devil know. My God's able. One of these, one way or the other, I will be out of your grips. I win either way. If you set me free, I win. If I burn up in the fire, I win. That's a strong believer. See, I'm trying to tell you, this is how we should be talking. I'm giving you some examples of people who didn't even have what you have. Either way, we're going to be delivered out of your hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee. They're testifying as they're going down, they're testifying. When they don't know the outcome, they're testifying. When you're sick and you don't know you're going to be healed, you should still testify. By his stripes, I'm healed. Let it be known, Satan. The word of God said, let it be known, Satan, it is written. Let it be known, Satan, my God will he will take care of me no matter what. And as they're going down, didn't know what the outcome was going to be, thought the king was going to kill them, thought they weren't going to see the sun come up anymore. He said, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King. See, one last testimony before I go. That we will not serve your God.
Amen.
I ain't taking down Satan.
No.
I ain't going to worship no. Cancer's a demon.
Amen.
And people worship that. Oh, they think it's powerful. Oh, cancer's this. Oh, COVID's this. Oh, sickness is this. The flu, the bugs, name it. People have more trust in the disease than in God. These guys said, I don't care what you do, King. Let you know, my God will deliver us. If not, be it known unto thee, King, that we won't serve you. I am not giving in to depression. I am not giving in to drugs. I am not giving in to this world order. I am not giving in to my problems. I am not giving in to what the devil tries to tell me I can't have. I am not giving. You be it known this day. That's a strong believer for you. I will not serve that God. I won't bow down to cancer. I won't bow down to sickness. If I can't run, I'll walk. If I can't walk, I'll crawl. If I can't crawl, I'll sit there and wave my hand. But somewhere along the line, God's going to deliver me. I won't bow down to it. He said, well, you got to believe. I don't have to believe nothing. I got to believe the word of God. I don't believe Satan's lie. I don't believe sickness lie. Sicknesses are lies. All of them. You say, well, the code is a lie, but cancer ain't no different. Still the devil. I won't bow down to it. You say, what if you get cancer? So what? I'm still not going to bow down to it. What if it kills you? If this earthly tabernacle beats off, I got another one. Don't worry about me. And you say, oh, tomorrow morning he woke up and he had cancer. Oh, he should have said that yesterday. Don't worry about me. That just means I'm on my way to my body. I don't care. By bus, by train, by plane. I don't care how I go. I'm just going.
That's right.
Either way. Be it known, O King, I won't bow down to your cancer. I won't bow down to your sickness. I won't bow down to your glaucoma. I won't bow down to your back trouble. I won't bow down to your bad knees. I won't bow down to your arthritis. I won't bow down to all these other sicknesses. Those are demons, and those are lowercase G-O-D. They're just gods of this evil age. And we try to put a big name on it. I won't bow down. I'm a strong believer. I'm standing strong. You say, well, you talk awful big. I got to. I'm anointed. I can't talk no less. I'm a believer. This is what believers do. You say, oh, I got problems that slow me down. You know what? If you're slowing down, you need to speed up. If you're letting this world pull you away, you need to speed up. You know that the wolf goes after the sheep that's outside of the pack. The slower you walk, Don said, the quicker you die. That lamb that's hanging around the tree line, that ain't with the whole flock, and they thinking, I know where we're going. I know what I'm doing. I got this. Don't worry about me. And the whole time, the flock is getting farther, far away from you. And you're sitting over here by yourself and don't even know it. And you think, because I got God. If you got God, you're going to be with the sheep. You're off on your own thinking, well, I got this. And that wolf is saying the same thing. I got this. And by yourself, you can't do this. By yourself, you're not an invincible army. An army is more than one. What if I come here and say, I'm an army? And you're like, where's the rest of them? That's like a pastor. Tell me you're a pastor and you don't have any sheep. I don't think you're a pastor. If you're a husband and you don't have a wife, you can't produce her. Mother, no kids, and you're a mom. Be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Man set up golden images. Man set them up. And they're all alike. They're manufactured. They look just alike. But it's done by man. Just to save time. Oh, okay. Then we could call another group of people, or at least I'd say there, and they were called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How they had took their stand for God, remembering to keep his promises. Remember that he keeps his promises. And how that in a great hour, because of their great stand, even their own brethren, many of them, had turned off into the world. But they were going to stand regardless to and took a stand for God. And when that furnace was heated up seven times hotter than it ever was hot before, and they were pushed into that furnace, and they could certainly remember that fourth man that was in there with him and kept all the heat and the death away from them. There is something about that fourth man. Might talk about him a while. Yes, sir. How that he was the only one that could make it possible. There was no other person that can do it but the fourth man. And he was the one that provided life in the jaws of death. Amen. He kept the fire ablaze back and preserved them. And oh, as long as there can be a memory, it'll never fade out. So they can remember that great day down in Babylon. Do you realize when they finally got in that, they threw him in a fiery furnace with that statement that they made to the king got so mad at him, they said, turn that furnace up 7 times hotter. It would kill you at one. He set that furnace up 7 times hotter. So much, though, that when they opened the door to throw the Hebrew boys in there, it killed the guards that were putting them in there. And they bound them up and threw them in the fiery furnace, and all that fire did was loose them from their bounds. It burnt the ropes off. See, you think your problems are your problem. Your problems are setting you free. Your problems are what's making out who you really are. And when you got in your trouble, and you got in your trial, and you got in your valley, and you got in your sickness, here comes the fourth man. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You might not always see him right there, but he's always there. And when you get in the middle of your trials, and when you get in the middle of your troubles, and when sickness is all over your house, and you don't know which way to turn, always look around for that fourth man, because he's there all the time. And that trial that you're going through is only setting you free. It'll kill your enemies. It'll set you free. And when they come walking out of that fiery furnace, not even the smell of the world was on them. Oh, my. When Jesus gets through with us, this world, you won't even smell like this world. He's working on us. He takes us through problems and troubles and trials. But as strong believers, we're standing on the word of God. And when they look at us, they don't even see the world. You don't even smell the world on us. All they see is Jesus Christ. That's standing strong. That's somebody who's believing in the word of God. That's somebody that's not looking to the left or right. When you're in this thing, you're in it by yourself. As for me in my house, you're doing this for yourself. That's it. You're serving God for yourself. You don't be a weak Christian. Right. You say, well, I can't be a weak Christian. You can. To whom you yield your members. You can be his servant if you want. You can let him have it. But I want somebody that's going to stand on the word of God. Okay, let me go to another one. Daniel chapter 6. It's right over in the same book. These are strong believers. These are people who were standing on the word of God. And they didn't let the devil throw them for a loop. Daniel was another strong believer. He stood strong. He was standing when nobody else was standing. He did right when everybody else did wrong. He stood with God when everybody else turned away. And he got so that they got jealous because Daniel, he rose up in the ranks. And he was a good man. But the church world got mad and jealous. It always happens that way. Isn't it funny how the believers don't dog the church world? The church world persecutes the believer. Daniel wasn't bothering them. Daniel was just being Daniel. He couldn't help it. He raised in the ranks because you know what? If you're a good worker, you're raised in the ranks. And because you're a Christian, you're a good worker. So you automatically become the leader. And that's how it works. And they didn't do what Daniel did to get where he was. They just got jealous because the king liked him and the king made him the leader of all of them. So they thought, well, let's fix Daniel's wagon. King, we need a decree. Another decree. See, that's what church will do, put laws in there. And their laws are only there to trick you, to catch you. So they ain't worried about your goodness. They ain't worried about how much you love God. You love God. You're here because you love God. You're here because you want to be. They ain't worried about that. They want to throw a little law in the way to trip you up on the way. Because they're jealous. Because you're God's favorite.
That's it.
You're not?
Right.
Okay, I'm just saying. So the church world throws law in there to try to trip you up. Because they're jealous. Daniel was doing his job, minding his own business, working as unto the Lord. See, when we work as unto the Lord. We ain't trying to put it, we ain't worried about everybody else. They say, you're a good employee. And you're like, well, thank you very much. But I would be a good employee anywhere because I'm doing this to God. And they think, well, you're doing this to climb the ladder. No, we don't worry about no ladder. Daniel wasn't worried about no ladder, but they got mad, jealous of him. So they made the king put a decree out again, said at this certain time, you're going to have to certain pray, and you can't pray to nobody but to the king for 30 days. It's like, man, that doesn't seem too bad. We can get along with that. See, a weak Christian compromises. A weak Christian says, well, that's only 30 days. I can come back to you, Lord, in 30 days. I'll be fine. Lord, I know I love you, but Daniel's like, 30 days? 30 minutes was too long. He thought, you know what? All right. King said, what? Okay. Yeah, all right. All right. Y'all go home. Daniel went home. Middle of the day. Time for Daniel to pray. Daniel got down and prayed. And all those big shot church people who had set him up with their law, they were standing back looking because they knew when Daniel opened up the window, they're going to look right in. The other preacher, the bishop, was living across the street from Daniel. So he knew. He'd watched him every day go and pray. He knew what he's going to do. But he knew. He said, I better not see those blinds open. I better not see him throw those shutters back. And he better not look to the east. He better not look nowhere. He better just go. Daniel, as soon as he heard what the king said, he said, all right, see y'all after lunch. Went on home, went upstairs, and began to pray. Looked across and saw the bishop. He didn't care what the bishop thought. He didn't care what the church court thought. He was a strong believer. He was a strong Christian. He believed the word of God. And he said, I ain't going to let nobody deter me from serving my God. So you got to be that determined yourself. In front of you, for you to stand strong, you're going to have to black the devil's eye. I don't care what you say, Satan. That's for me and my house. This is what we're going to do. Daniel said, I'm going to pray. So he got over there and they told the king, go over there and Daniel chapter 6, verse 8. And they said, he went over to the king and he's trying to, they reported Daniel. And Daniel got up to the king and the king liked Daniel. He's his favorite. He's like, oh man, Daniel, why'd you do that? And you know I can't take my word back. I'm a king. If I take my word back, I'm in trouble with the whole land. Why are you going to do a thing? Why don't you leave the shutters shut? I don't care if you pray, but just leave. See, the king loved Daniel. He was trying his best around it. So down there in verse 8, it said, now, O king, this is what Daniel said. O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not charged according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altered not. Wherefore the king desires sign and writing and decree. He wrote it. See, the church people talked him into doing it. He didn't want to do it. They just was bumping him up, saying, King, you know what? You're a good man. And people, if they're going to pray for the next 30 days, they need to pray to you. And he's like, that sounds pretty good. You know, he's like, yeah, let's. Where do I sign? He wasn't thinking of Daniel. He's thinking of his own pride. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. He wasn't worried. He said, King says what? Okay. See, the thing is, a strong believer, you're going to stand on the word of God. I don't care what the governor says. I don't care what the president says. I don't care what the pope says. You're going to stand on the word of God. And if it means your demise, it just means your demise. If it means God's not going to deliver you. See, the thing was, in Daniel's case, and I won't go down and read it just to save time, the king had to go and throw him in the lion's den. Now, Daniel knew that he was in trouble, but he knew that he loved God. And he wasn't worried about whether he was going to live or die. That's what believers do. You stand on the word of God regardless. A strong believer, whether I live or die, I'm going to stand on the word. I'm going to believe that God, by his stripes, I'm healed if I die. Because his word says so. We don't do this because we know the outcome. We do it because the word says so. Daniel stood on the word even though he didn't even know the outcome. That strong believer was standing there, and they threw him in a lion's den. The king was worried all night long. My buddy's in the lion's den. He knows some hungry lions. And I know what they'll do. I know what they've done every other time. Oh, Daniel. He just tossed and turned. Daniel went down there and went to sleep. He went down there in that lion's den. He said, where's the biggest one in here? The fluffiest one. He said, lay down right there. And went to sleep. Daniel was not worried. When you know the word of God, you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. Let the devil worry about it. They're looking like, how's he going to pastor that church? How's he going to do this? How's he going to do that? They ain't going to keep nobody. Ain't nobody stay. Let the devil worry about that. They've worried about that since Brother Childers opened a church in whatever it was, 69. They've worried about Fairborn. They always worry about Fairborn. How are they going to stay? Ain't nobody. They said at one time, only thing they're going to have is bad people. And they've tried everything, and they've worried about everything. And they've tuned in trying to figure out what we're doing and to try to find out where we're at and what we're doing. And you know what? I don't follow one of them. I don't worry about what they're doing. Daniel wasn't even worried. He laid down, went to sleep, said, you know what? Wake me in the morning. You over there in that other corner. Well, tomorrow morning, I want you to roar as soon as the sun come up. And he went on to sleep. But the king, he didn't sleep all night. He was worried. And first thing in the morning, he run over to the edge of the pit. Oh, Daniel, is your God able? And Daniel said, live forever. You see, Daniel gave eternal life. Oh, king, live forever.
Yes.
My God is able.
Amen.
He shut the lion's mouth. See, you don't always know the outcome, but you know what the word says, and we stand on the word of God as a strong believer and let the devil howl. Let the devil try to figure it out. Job, won't read it. Job chapter 2. Had all kind of, see, y'all think because y'all believers, y'all ain't going to have no trouble. Your troubles don't start till you believe. Devil went before the Lord and said, hey, you got a hedge around Job. He's a goody two-shoe. And as long as you got that hedge around him, his family loves him. They're all in church. His wife loves him. She serves God. She dances and speaks in tongues, and she does all these things, and she's got signs and wonders, and they're good people, and you give him all this cattle and gave him all this land. No wonder he serves you.
Right.
See, a lot of time we think we serve God just because we get paid by God. We get rich. You know what? There's some poor believers.
Right.
We've been blessed in this United States.
Amen.
We're blessed to be here. But there's people in other countries don't have it. They don't get three meals a day. They can't just go to the refrigerator and open up and get something out. They have to go out and sell. I remember being in the Philippines or Africa or somewhere, and we're in a taxi going to church service, and they got to an intersection, and here this little probably six-year-old kid with gum trying to sell sticks of gum, quarter a piece, whatever you can get it, because he had to sell this pack of gum before he can go home. And he took the money home to his family, gave it to his mom and dad, so they can all come back together and figure out how much money they have so they can go to the market and buy something to eat for the day. We don't know that here. Job had it all ripped away from him. Lost his kids. Lost his cattle. Lost this. Lost that. Lost his health, picking boils, sitting on an ash heap picking boils off. That's nasty. Picking boils off. And his wife's looking around like, Joe? You hadn't noticed? House payments due. Hadn't you noticed? Cattle's gone. Workers gone. Kids are dead. Neighbors are all gossiping about you. Job, why don't you just curse God? Now, if you remember, Joseph's strong. He took a strong stand. His wife, out of everybody in the world, everybody else had left him, turned on him, talked about him. And the last one, he said, well, at least he's probably picking those ash heaps, picking those boils, saying, well, at least I got my wife. I lost it all, but at least I got my wife. She looked at him and said, Joe, why don't you curse God and die? He's like, well, I guess I don't have my wife. He's like, you talk like a foolish woman. That's a believer. That's a strong believer. Standing on the word of God. Could you imagine Job enjoying being broke out in boils and all these things gone, losing all of his wealth and children and everything? It wasn't very easy, but God was proving to Satan that he had somebody he could put confidence in. Maybe he's trying to do the same thing in your case and the rest of you. Oh, they're forsaking you. Job. They couldn't make Job do that. No, sir. He was only trying to prove them. God sends you through things just like he did Job to prove to the devil that you are a strong believer and will stand when everything else falls apart.
Amen.
That's who you are.
Amen.
That's why you have the word. The word is it's infallible. The word is unmovable. The word is solid. And when you get the word in your heart, you won't sin against him. Brother Branham was talking about the martyrs. And I'm going to read it. I was going to just mention it, but I'm going to read it. Since I skipped some of the other things I was going to read, I'll read this. The boils, they boiled John in a vat of grease for 24 hours, trying to boil the Holy Ghost out of him. How can you do that? Because they thought he was a witch. And they said he bewitched the grease. Abacus and many of those great writers, Polycarp, and many of those, when he stood in the fire there that day with his hands up praying to God, they put him in a fire. Polycarp, they were trying to burn him up. He lifted his hands praying to God, and the fire wouldn't even burn him. They said he bewitched the fire. See, they're always saying it's a cult. They bewitched. There's a trick. There's this. There's that. They always got a reason why, you know. And they said he bewitched the fire, throwed a spear in his side. Fox's Book of Martyrs, and enough blood ran out that put the whole fire out. They said he bewitched the blood. And when there's only about a gallon or so of blood in a man's body, it was God, and the world knew it not. How have you been able to stand like you have, church? How have you been able to stay when everybody else goes? How have you been able to push through when everybody's looking at you like you've been bewitched? Here's this. It's a demon. It's that. And the whole time, it's God showing you off to the world.
Amen.
You're standing strong, church. Standing on the word of God. Standing on what God said he could do. The preachers today couldn't even do what they did with on the Isle of Patmos. John on the Isle of Patmos. Brother Branham said they threw him on the Isle of Patmos. And the reason they threw him on the Isle of Patmos is because they thought he was a witch. And they thought if they throw him on the Isle of Patmos, we'll get him away from everybody. Brother Branham said preachers today couldn't handle that. They wouldn't go on the aisle. They wouldn't be separated. They want to keep their church tradition. They want to keep things up. Won't read it. It's already 12-something. Joshua chapter 1. Let's read it.
Amen.
I wanted to close, but this is good. Joshua chapter 1. Well, I've got it here. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Isn't that something for God to say that? Amen. Put your name there instead of Joshua. He told us the same thing. As I was with Moses. As I was with William Branham. So will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance this land. Our land is the word. Let's read that again. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the word. Which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He did. I will restore, saith the Lord. He swore unto their fathers that he was going to restore that word. All that the cankerworm, caterpillar, locust, palmer worm, all my great army. Oh my, I don't have time. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Everything that the prophet brought. Amen. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest.
Amen.
We prosper because we stay with the word.
Yes.
We prosper because we stay with the message. Well, we don't seem like we have nothing. We end up with something.
Yes.
Where it seems like that and we're not going anywhere, we end up having everything. Where it seems like we should be poor, God gives us spiritual blessings.
Amen.
People think people are prospering in natural things. Oh, you can prosper in natural things, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're prospering in spiritual things. Amen. Be strong and of good courage.
Yes.
God has blessed you. You're a strong believer. This bride will do her job. She's strong. She's on her feet in this hour. We're standing now. We're standing on the promises. We're standing on the word of God. We're not looking to the left or to the right. People are dropping. When I was running and I was in ROTC and I was tall, so they had me in the back right in front of the meat wagon. It was what we called the truck. It was a jump school. And you had to do this 5-mile run. And if you got tired, if you got winded, if you couldn't make it anymore, if you talked yourself out of it, all you needed to do was just step onto the grass. Jay, when you stepped onto that grass, that's all. I was in right in front of the truck, and I hated it because with long legs, I'd run that 5-mile fast. But they put the shortest, short-legged person in the front, and I'm running like this. So my 5-mile was torturous. But when I hear that truck back off, I know that somebody was getting on that truck. And when they got on that truck, that was the last time you saw them. They took them back to the barracks, packed their bags, and sent them home. And you get back to the barracks after the run, and you see 3 or 4 bunks empty. Church, we're running this race. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't worry about who's not coming. Don't worry about who's falling off to the side. You stay focused on that race. Run this race with patience. Keep picking them up and putting them down. That's what I told myself the whole way. Pick them up and put them down. I may not be able to run as fast as I want to because that short-legged little guy up front, but just keep picking them up and putting them down. Pick them up and put them down. Pick them up and put them down. And you know what? You do that enough, you've run 5 miles.
Right.
How you do life? Pick them up and put them down. Pick them up and put them down. Some might be running faster than you. Some might be running slower than you. You can't be concerned to your left, to your right. You just keep on moving. Just keep on moving. And as you run this race, next thing you know, we'll be home. You might go through some things. You might lose some things. You might lose some buddies on the left and the right. But just keep picking them up and putting them down. Because we are standing strong. We're not weak. We're not trying to figure this out. We know what it is. And this bride knows what to do with the word. So nothing's going to separate us. Ephesians chapter 6, last scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. All of it. Don't just take part of it. Do it all. Cover every part of it. And the armor only covers your front. God doesn't worry about your back because you know what? You're not running. No retreat in this, Ted. We don't go back. David, when he had to fight Goliath, he ran towards him. When we have problems and trouble in our lives, we run towards him. Oh, bring it on.
Yeah. Amen.
I got on the whole armor. I'm strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor, God, that you might withstand, be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Church folk. Church folk. But here we are, standing on the promises of God. We're going to sing that. Come on, musicians. We're going to sing that. But I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for these two cloths. Because we are strong believers. We're not weak at all. We're strong believers. Christy, come on over here. And Warren, you come too. We're believers in this word. And you know, the Bible says that they took handkerchiefs, they took cloths, they took aprons. From the apostles. And the reason they took it, they had faith in what the apostles preached. And then they took the cloths and took them back. And people were healed by it. That's the word of God. That's not my word. I'm not wishfully thinking here. This is what the word of God says. So we're going to stand on the word. We're strong believers. We're standing strong on the promises of God. That God's word is going to work it out. You say, how's it going to happen? The three Hebrew children didn't know how it was going to happen. They just knew the word of God. David knew the word of God. He didn't know what God was going to do. Everybody else in the Bible, all we did has the word of God to stand on. So as we pray for these as believers, we're going to stand on that same word. Just lay your hands on that. We're going to pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as we come before you this morning, we know your word said, by your stripes we are healed. And Lord, the word has gone forth this morning, and we as strong believers standing here today believe that you're going to send forth your word for healing. Yes. Lord, we're not even going to wonder how it's going to happen and need an explanation, but Lord, we just stand on your word knowing it will happen. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your healing power. Thank you for your word. Thank you for our brothers and sisters here who are standing as believers. Lord Warren standing on behalf of his wife and Christy needing a touch from you. Lord, we're tired of Satan and we want to send him over in the corner somewhere and tell him to get off our back and leave us alone. And Lord, we'll stand on that truth. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you both. Amen. God bless you, Christy. Amen. Standing on the promises. We are strong believers.
Pastor Moore?
Yes.
I just want to confess my healing and confess my agreeance with the word of God.
Amen. The word is right. Amen. The word is right. The word is true.
The word of God is right.
And I like the way the Hebrew boys said it. I know my God's able. And even if he don't, I ain't bowing down to you, Satan. I ain't claiming you. I ain't going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to the word of God. I'm going to listen to God's promises. That's the only hope I have. So only hope I have is standing on what God promised me. Amen. What page is that doing, you know? 31. Amen. Don't forget, come back tonight for Bible study. You all seem to keep coming back, so I guess I'll keep showing. Amen. Standing on the promises of Christ, my through eternal ages, let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, for I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, I am standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I am standing. I am standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises. Storms of doubt and fear assail. I shall prevail, for I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, yes, I'm standing. I am standing. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, yes, I'm standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. You're dismissed. Amen.